Morning, everyone. You know, the passage that I was led to might seem strange to you this morning. It seems strange to me that I was led to it, but these are strange times. And we find things strange, but the Lord knows all. So I trust the Lord has got a word for each one of us from this message this morning. I'm going to read from Ecclesiastes 9, 1 to 18. It's titled, A Common Destiny for All. So I reflected on all this and concluded that the righteousness and the wise and what they do are in God's hands, but no one knows whether love or hate awaits them. All share a common destiny. The righteous and the wicked, the good and the bad, the clean and the unclean, those who offer sacrifices and those who do not. As it is with the good, so with the sinful. As it is with those who take oaths, so with those who are afraid to take them. This is the evil in everything that happens under the sun. The same destiny overtakes all. The hearts of people, moreover, are full of evil, and there is madness in their hearts while they live, and afterwards they join the dead. Anyone who is amongst the living has hope. Even a live dog is better off than a dead lion, for the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. They have no further reward, and even their name is forgotten. Their love, their hate, and their jealousy have long since vanished. Never again will they have a part in anything that happens under the sun. Go eat your food with gladness, and drink your wine with a joyful heart, for God has already approved what you do. Always be clothed in white, and always anoint your head with oil. Enjoy life with your wife, whom you love, and all the days of this meaningless life that God has given you under the sun. All your meaningless days, for this is your lot in life, and in your toilsome labor under the sun. Whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might, for in the realm of the dead, where you are going, there is neither work, nor planning, nor knowledge, nor wisdom. I have seen something else under the sun. The race is not to the swift, or the battle to the strong, nor food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor to the learned. But time and chance happen to all them. Moreover, no one knows when their hour will come. As fish are caught in a cruel net, or birds are taken in a snare, so people are trapped by evil times that fall unexpectedly upon them. I also saw under the sun this example of wisdom that greatly impressed me. There was once a small city with only a few people in it, and a powerful king came against it, surrounded it, and built huge sieges, works against it. Neither lived in that city a man poor, but wise, and he saved the city by his wisdom, but nobody remembered that poor man. So I said, wisdom is better than strength. But the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are no longer heeded. The quiet words of the wise are more to be heeded than the shouts of a ruler of fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. Powerful words. I find it strange, and I thought, Lord, help me. to get through this. So let's just come to the Lord now. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I thank you for all your scriptures. Your word tells us that all scripture is useful for training, teaching, and rebuking us. And Lord, I just pray that you will use me as your mouthpiece to bring the message that you've laid in my heart, Lord. Because we need to hear from you this morning. We need your strength to sustain us in these strange times that we're going through at the moment. So Lord, I just trust in you. Be with me, Lord, now as we come around your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I've entitled this message, Do You Feel Trapped? You know, verse 12b of the passage we've just read told us, so people are trapped by evil times that fall unexpectedly upon them. And that's exactly what's happened to us, isn't it, with this pandemic? Nobody expected it 10 months ago. It seemed to come out of nowhere. You know, but nothing takes the Lord by surprise. We can be surprised by lots of things, but he knows the beginning and the end. Well, here we are, after 10 months. This pandemic is still with us. Once again, we enter another lockdown because of the virulent strain that's grown. Because a virus is a bit like sin. It starts off small, but the more it gets thrown around, the stronger it gets. And if you get trapped by sin, well, it's a bottomless pit, really. We just mentioned and lifted up Gary in prayer, and that's where he is at the minute. He's in that pit. But, you know, it's not helpless, because we've got a Lord who loves us, and nothing is impossible for him. Today, there are many in this country who will feel trapped. There are many others who will feel lonely and isolated due to the restrictions imposed upon them, especially if they don't know the Lord. Because what hope have they got? Our hope is in the Lord. And we thank the Lord for that, because without his love, as we've sung this morning, without him first loving us, we could not call him Lord. It's understandable that the government has felt it necessary to put these new restrictions on us to try and arrest the spread of this virus, to take the strain off the NHS, who are doing a grand job. And we know that the deaths are going up day by day, month by month. And we're over 80-odd thousand now here in the UK, but worldwide it's a lot more than that. But, you know, that is just the end of our human life. That's not the important thing. What we need to consider is the spiritual life, the eternal life that's there. Our way of life may be well turned upside down with the restrictions that are placed against us on us again. Restrictions that affect almost every aspect of our lives, requiring us to wear masks in confined spaces, including shops, chemists, all the places that are still allowed to operate. But there's an awful lot of places which have been closed down, which aren't allowed to operate, to try and curtail the spread of the virus. And we might even... It hasn't happened quite yet, because I haven't seen queues outside supermarkets just at the moment, but it could well happen in the months to come. And I just hope that if it does happen, that we don't end up as we did in March, when supermarkets had a rush on and people were panic buying, and toilet paper became scarcer than gold, if you remember, even though it doesn't have that effect on the body. But that's people's fear. And what is fear? All his fear is going against God's will. Fear is going against God's will, and fear is sin. Because sin is going against God's will. If you think back to in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were enjoying life until they took off the tree, the forbidden fruit, and they ate it. And then what did they do? They knew they had sinned. They knew they'd gone against God's will. And they hid themselves from God. And that's what people think, well, what's sin? Well, sin is just being disobedient to God's will. And that's it. And sin brings fear, because you fear because you know you've done wrong. Even those who don't know the Lord, they fear because they know they've done wrong. You think when you were a child, you know, and you didn't know the Lord, the things that you've done, and you're afraid of your mum finding out. You maybe had a little smoke, or, you know, pinched a biscuit or something, you know. But it's an inbuilt thing, and that fear comes from going against what you know is right. And what is right is what God's will is for each one of us. And it's something that we need to do. But I mean, we're now, you've got theatres are closed, swimming pools are closed, gyms are closed, even golf courses are closed. So I've got to find other ways to exercise. But you know, that's really nothing when you think of it. People are, again, being asked to work from home if they can. And there's even schools. I see Daniel smile a bit. Even schools are closed, you know, for until further notice in lots of cases, except for the children of frontline workers and those with special needs, in the hope that it will curtail the spread of this virus. You know, but there is also a great hope that the vaccination program will be rolled out and accelerated to afford protection for everyone. That's the hope. You know, but no one really knows how long this will take, how long this tunnel is going to be. And we will all pass through it. I'm confident in that, God willing, because it's all in his hands. There is some good news, though. Lift up the doom. You know, there is some good news. We're still permitted at present to meeting in this place to worship together and give glory to God for all his goodness to us. Albeit there are constrictions placed upon us, i.e. the wearing of masks, social distancing. You know, but I still believe it's something that we need to cherish, that we can still come together and worship together and support each other and to show encouragement to each other and our love for each other. And Hebrews 10, verses 24 to 25 reads, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching." You know, the way things are going at the moment in this world, and you have a look at it, and I don't know about you, but I'm getting more and more convinced that the final days are just around the corner. You know, you see the way man behaves in all sorts of ways. I'm not going to go into the political realms, but you've all been watching the news. You know what's going on. And it's really disturbing when you see the arrogance of some people in places where you would think they would know better. But they will have to answer to the same king that we all will have to answer to. It's important, I believe, though, that we continue to meet together, one with another. To our strength and our resilience comes from each other, because we're all part of the body. We can't do anything without the other. We need to work together. It's true, we've had to be imaginative in how we accomplished maintaining presence together when we haven't been allowed to meet in the church at the start of this pandemic, we had Zoom that we used, which was better than nothing because at least we were able to see each other. We were able to have a little bit of an input and a bit of a verbal intercourse with each other and that there on it. And it was better than nothing. Then we got allowed to come back into the church. But as it was good weather, we went outside into the garden where we could throw off the restrictions of the masks because we could maintain the social distance and out in the fresh air. And then as it got colder, back into the church where we are at present. But having read the papers today, there is a threat in the Daily Mail, I believe it is. Linda was reading it this morning. That there's a possibility that churches may be prohibited again. But we'll just have to wait and see. But, you know, people can stop us coming into the church. But one thing they can't do is stop us worshipping our Lord and Saviour. Because He is always with us, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, and 366, isn't it, on a leap year? If my math is right and the old rhymes right. So is there any real reason to feel trapped by this current situation if you know the Lord? I would suggest not. If you put your trust in God, there is, however, a worse trap than that caused by COVID-19. One which is more drastic and it has eternal consequences. I'm referring to, of course, sin. And as I've already said, sin is just going against God's will. And Paul warns us in Romans 6:23 what sin costs. It reads, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord." I feel sorry for those who don't know the Lord as their personal Saviour. They have every reason to feel trapped. Not only by this virus, but trapped by sin itself. Now, sin, as I said, is just going against God's will, but we've given it all sorts of names, from addiction to all sorts. It could be to chocolate, it could be to drugs, alcohol, smoking, anything. And it's not the act, but the addiction is actually you're putting that first. The love off, if you become addicted to something, you can't do without it. And if you're putting something that you can't do without it, the only thing we should have in our lives that we can't do without is the Lord. But if they don't know the Lord, they've got nothing else. And that's what happens. That's the scary thing that I find. If they don't know the Lord, they have every right to feel trapped. As I said, we've just read from Paul, the wages of sin is death. Death is eternal death it's talking about there. Separation from God. A life spent in hell. Not a word that's used very often now in churches because it's not political correct. It sounds harsh, you know, but sometimes you've got to tell it as it is, and that's the way it is. Ever since the world was created, God has clearly shown us His power and His character. Yet, people have chosen to ignore it and ignore Him. There is no one person on earth, me included, who can put their hand on their heart and say, "I obey God 100%. And I give Him the full honor that His name deserves." Because Paul tells us again in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We can't help ourselves. It's since the fall, Adam and Eve in the garden, it seems to be a natural inbuilt thing in us, the act and the will to rebel. A bit of a rebel in everybody. You know, but that doesn't mean to say that you're going to be lost because you rebel now and again. Your parents still loved you when you had to smoke or pinch the biscuit. When they found out, you know, they didn't throw you out, didn't throw the baby out with the bathwater, as the saying goes. And the Lord will not throw you out with the bathwater either. But he will correct you and prompt you by the power of the Holy Spirit to come to him and say, sorry, forgive me, Lord. Repent. It's very difficult to keep all of the commands of law, and we're all sinners. But God in his goodness has provided a way back, a way to return to enjoying a full and blessed relationship with him that is not dependent upon keeping rules and keeping the law. Because when you read scripture, you can find that even the Israelites themselves, God's chosen people, find it impossible to keep the commandments. God sent his son Jesus to suffer and die in our place. And the old system of the law was nailed to the cross with Jesus and was replaced by God's grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. Our once and for all time sacrifice. So there's no longer any need to go and slaughter lambs or cattle or whatever else, pigeons, doves, on the altar. Jesus took all of our sin on himself and laid down his life to make it possible for us to come back to the Father. As we read in that gospel in a nutshell, in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him may be saved. Now that does not mean that once you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that you can just put your feet up and relax. That you won't face problems in life. In fact, the opposite is true. Scripture reminds us in John 15, verse 19, if you belonged to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. And it's true, you know, you go out into the world, and there are times, especially if it's a crowd, and if you try to give a testimony, you'll get fun poked at you. Not because necessarily the person that's poking the fun doesn't agree with what you're saying or doesn't want to, but he doesn't want to seem taken in by his mates. He doesn't want to be seen as different. You know, and we are different because scripture tells us all the way through that we are never going to be a majority in this world, but we are going to be a majority when we go into his kingdom. You know, he tells you, doesn't it, that the gate is narrow and few are those who go through it. So it can't be the majority. So don't ever put your hope in majorities, because a majority can just mean that there are more people following the wrong path. There's an old saying, though, that being forewarned is to be forearmed. And we have been forewarned by scripture, so we have no excuse for not being forearmed. And there's only one way that we can arm ourselves and prepare ourselves for the onslaught of this world, and that's by reading and digesting the Word of God regularly, and by remaining in communication with him regularly through prayer and supplication. We need to acknowledge that we are weak as the song goes, but He is strong. And it's His strength that we need to rely upon to keep us safe from all harm. Because on our own, we will just slip and fall. We need His hand upon us. 1 Corinthians 10, 12 to 13 reads, "So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so you can endure it." We need to remember that, though. Without God's help, we will not see the way out. We will not even understand that we are in danger without His prompting through the Holy Spirit. Now, make no mistake, we will all be tempted. And without His help, as I said, we will fall into that trap so easily. Remember what Paul has already told us, as we read, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But if you belong to the Lord, then you will be," as we read in Philippians 1:11, "you will be filled with this fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." In other words, the only claim that we have to righteousness comes from our faith in the Lord Jesus. It's His righteousness that is our covering. It's His cloak that covers us. When the Father looks at us, He looks through His Son. And if we're in the Son, He sees us as righteous. Even when we don't deserve it, He sees us as righteous, because His word tells us that we are His. If you're feeling trapped this morning by the events that are going on in this world at present, if you're feeling trapped by sin, then I suggest that you take heed of Proverbs 3 and verse 5. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." It goes on from there to say then, "and He will direct your ways," in verse 6. Yes, you cannot rely on politicians who make promises. Most of the time they're incapable of keeping them because they're promising you big things. I mean, you hear when politicians are on, there's millions being spent on this and all the rest of it. But they're talking years and years, years away. You know, people are building their hopes up. But you can't trust everything that comes out of the mouth of a politician. They're incapable of keeping their promises. Change, like, as often as the wind does, because of the pressures of this world. There is only one authority that we can rely upon to free us from all and any trap that may come our way, and that is our Heavenly Father, God, who is the same today, yesterday, and forever. And don't forget, all His promises are yes and amen. In 1 Peter 1, verse 3, it reads, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He is giving us new birth in a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." If you've accepted His precious gift, Jesus, then you have no reason to feel trapped, for your future is secured. Your future is assured through Jesus' death on that cross. Jesus Himself told His disciples in John 10, 28 to 30. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Couldn't be clearer. You are secure. No one can rob you of your salvation. The only person that can rob you of your salvation is you. Satan can't take it off you. With this, I will close. With such a comprehensive promise from Jesus, is there any reason to feel trapped? As that lovely old hymn advises, trust in the Lord and don't despair. He is a friend so true. No matter what your troubles are, Jesus will see you through. And that's the only hope that we have in this life. And that's all we need. Because we are only traveling through this life. We're on a journey. And we won't have completed our journey until we have communion with Him in person, in His kingdom. And I say, come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a loving God who loves your children. And Lord, you are only putting off the second coming until the Father tells you that the time is right, that everything has been done that can be done to win as many for the kingdom. But Lord, we just thank you that you've called us out of this world. And Lord, we just pray that you will continue to just encourage us and to keep us strong in our faith and looking to you, as we've sung already this morning. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. Jesus, we thank you for your promises, all of which are yes and amen. So we just pray that you'll be with us as we leave this place today. Encourage us to be good witnesses in what we do as well as what we say, and to keep our eyes firmly fixed on you, in whose name we pray. Amen.